Haines veterans tell Washington, D.C. representatives about struggles with VA healthcare. And the Skagway Assembly talks about getting ready for marijuana legalization. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Representatives from the offices of U.S. Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan and Congressman Don Young were in Southeast last week to talk with locals about a variety of issues. They made a stop at the American Legion in Haines to chat with veterans about ongoing health care coverage concerns. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has the story.
It's been the same saga for months. Veterans say they are simply not getting the health benefits they're entitled to. And in Haines, it's no different. According to the local American Legion, there are 300 veterans in the borough. Only around 10 of those vets showed up for a meeting last week with representatives from D.C. to get an update on and air their grievances about the VA healthcare system. Just under 2 years ago, Congress passed the Veterans Choice Law. The law was designed to allow veterans more flexibility on which providers they could see.
That's worked well to a certain extent down south, but then in the summer they ran out of money for that program.
That's Chad Padgett, the representative for Congressman Young. The Choice Program, run by Tri-West Healthcare Alliance, forced Alaskan veterans to deal with agents outside the state who simply didn't know the geographical challenges faced here.
Not a good situation, especially for people that don't know Alaska. And, you know, they were telling people, you live in Haines, you can just pop up to Anchorage and go to your clinic there. You know, they had no idea.
Recently, a few things have changed that are supposed to make the convoluted system easier for veterans to navigate. For example, calls from Alaska are diverted to a central location where employees are trained on Alaska's unique situation. Padgett said they are working in Washington to try and get some sort of exemption for Alaska within the Choice Program to streamline the process. The hope is that local veterans can get more of their basic care here in Haines instead of traveling to a VA provider in Juneau or Anchorage on their own dime. John Newton is the local Legion commander. He served with the Army overseas from 1962 to 1965. He says while he's glad representatives came to talk with local vets about their benefits, he's not holding his breath for big changes anytime soon.
I've just fought the battle with the VA for my personal reasons long enough, and they've won. I've given up, but I haven't given up on my fellow veterans. If I can help them in any way, put them in contact, then I will. But for my own personal benefits, I'm in the golden years and heading down on the other side of the mountain now, so.
Newton says he has to go to Juneau, usually a multi-day trip with a couple of nights in a hotel, for regular visits. He says he should just be able to walk down the street to the clinic, but it doesn't work like that. He says he's been told repeatedly that he has to make the trip to Juneau, even for a simple monthly injection.
The old saying is, these people, the veterans, they signed a blank check. When they took that oath, and they took an oath of duty, and there's not a one of us has ever been released to that oath of duty. So we are still serving our country.
While most veterans at the meeting didn't want to be recorded for this story, their accounts of having to wait weeks or even months just to get an appointment are not unique to Haines. What is unique is the fact that traveling to see a VA provider requires a plane or ferry or both. The problem also lies with the fact that there simply aren't enough VA providers in the state. Padgett finished up the meeting by letting the group know that they'll take back all the individual complaints and concerns and try to work on a solution that helps veterans get the care they need in their hometowns. When that might happen, if at all, remains to be seen. In the meantime, some vets say they've resorted to using their spouse's insurance, Medicare, or just paying out of their own pockets. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
The Skagway Borough Assembly started a conversation last week about what legalization of marijuana in the state will mean locally. The Assembly said they would not ban retail marijuana establishments, but the group did not make any decisions about specific local regulations. Last year, out of about 400 Skagway residents who voted on ballot measure 2, 71% supported marijuana legalization. That sentiment was reflected in most of the public comment at the Thursday meeting, but one person did speak against pot legalization. Here's Ed Fairbanks.
It's just damn unsafe, it's unhealthy, and it's just idiotic for people to use this stuff.
Fairbanks was concerned about people working at places like construction sites under the influence of marijuana. The rest of the public comment focused on how the municipality can best move forward with a local legal marijuana industry. Here's Jim Sager.
Not a recreational drug user myself. Despite that, I did vote to support the legalization of marijuana. And as such, considering the state voted favorably to do so, I think it's a requirement for us as a community to provide a legal means for people to obtain this newly legalized substance so that we can do away with the back alley shenanigans and what have you that I'm sure has preceded this.
Sager said the municipality should manage the new market responsibly by capping the number of marijuana business licenses allowed. Valerie Zimbrick and Jay Ellingson said the borough should give locals preference.
I hope that it goes to somebody local. It needs to be, the money needs to stay in Skagway.
I'd like to see another local have that opportunity rather than somebody from outside the community to come in, profit from this new business proposal, and take that money out of Skagway.
The assembly members recognize the potential economic benefits of the weed industry, but Assemblyman Tim Cochran said actually starting a marijuana business is not going to be easy.
It's extremely expensive, extremely stringent.
Cochran pointed to the multitude of proposed regulations from the State Marijuana Control Board. The regulations are in a public comment period right now. They would charge $5,000 for a pot retailer's license, but that's not the only expense. Since marijuana possession is still a federal crime, it's unclear how it could be transported in and out of Skagway. So there will likely be a need for a local cultivation facility, which requires a $5,000 license and a testing facility to measure the potency of the product.
The state is making it very stringent in labeling, testing, monitoring, transportation. Everything is going to be closely scrutinized.
The assembly also had questions about how cruise ship visitors will factor into the new industry. Here's Dan Henry with Cochran responding.
Or is there anything wrong with somebody getting off the ship, coming down, buying it, going back on board the ship?
I don't think they'll let them back on the ship with it, if they know they have it.
Do we know?
I don't know.
The state plans to begin issuing marijuana business licenses in May of next year. Before anyone sets up shop in Skagway, the assembly plans to determine how many local licenses they will allow and how to tax marijuana products. But that conversation has only just begun. The public comment period for the draft state marijuana regulations ends November 11th. The Marijuana Control Board hopes to adopt final regulations by November 23rd. You can find the link to submit comments with this article at khns.org. Other regional native corporations' resource earnings continue to fund most of Sea Alaska shareholders' dividends. Officials at the Juneau-based corporation say that will change. Sea Alaska will distribute $17.5 million in dividends to its 22,000 shareholders on December 3rd. More than 60% will receive $1,050. The rest will get around $130. The difference is a payout from a statewide pool of other regional native corporations' resource earnings. Urban shareholders get it directly, but village and new shareholders don't. Sea Alaska CEO Anthony Malott says the pool known as 7i is expected to shrink.
The 7i income we receive is very tied to commodity pricing, and the two main commodity prices that affect the 7i we see is oil prices and zinc prices. And both of them have been pretty significantly hit in this recent commodity price decline.
About 8% of the larger dividends come from Sea Alaska's permanent fund, and around 5% comes from operations. But at this point, Malott says most of that money also comes from the resource earnings pool. Sea Alaska has been trying to bounce back from a $57 million operational loss since 2013. The recovery plan is to buy a controlling interest in one or several seafood, government services, or other businesses with growth potential.
Putting our investment capital to work is going to be one of the only significant solutions to deal with any decline in 7i, and we understand that pressure, but we still want to keep to a process where we are comfortable that we're making the right decision.
Malott says Sea Alaska continues researching potential purchases. He says it's negotiating with about a half dozen companies, though he didn't say what they are. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.